This is Indiana Public Radio News. I'm Stan Sollers. Spring break is right around the corner for Ball State students and faculty, but the administration will be working to navigate appropriation estimates from the State House and sailing through enrollment estimates to chart the course for the next fiscal year. Joining us today to share some of the latest financial navigational notes is Ball State President Jeff Mearns, or should I say Admiral Jeff Mearns.
Good morning, Stan. It's good to be back with you today.
Good to be with you. So you're going to go by President rather than Admiral?
I think that's appropriate.
Okay, well, we'll stay with that. Let's start off with how state appropriations look for higher education in Indiana, and in particular, Ball State. What's the latest?
Well, I'm encouraged by the progress so far during the General Assembly's budget session. The House has recently approved a budget proposal that affects higher education in two ways. One, the House has approved each institution, each university's primary capital request, facilities funding request. And for Ball State, that would be $81.6 million, which we would use to modernize and renovate classrooms in the CAP building, in the Hargraves building, and the Arts and Communications building. It will enable us to transform those buildings and those classrooms that were built for 20th century pedagogy and to transfer them and transform them into buildings for the 21st century. We won't know whether that will be final until it gets approved by the Senate, but I'm hopeful and encouraged. The second component of the budget is our operating appropriation, and this House has also approved an increase of 4% in operating appropriations for the first year and 6% in the second year of the biennium. Now, a portion of that of those dollars are allocated through a former legacy performance improvement model, so it doesn't mean that every institution gets 4% or 6%. But I'll spare you the details. If that appropriation is the final one, then next year we would see an increase of about $2.7 million in our state appropriation. And in the following year, the second year of the biennium, an increase compared to the current year of about $5.4 million. So that's good news. And I will be appearing next Tuesday in the Senate Appropriations Committee and asking them to actually support the commission's and the governor's recommendation with the state appropriation to actually increase the appropriation from 4% to 6% in the first year and from 6% to 8% in the second year. If so, then we would see a corresponding increase in our appropriation. But it's good, and I'm hopeful that it might get even better.
What would it look like for Ball State students tuition-wise?
Well, so our board will set tuition for the next 2 years at a board meeting scheduled in June. We'll not be formulating that recommendation and submitting that recommendation to the board probably until that time frame. So we're waiting to see what our state appropriation look like, what our enrollment looks like, projections look like. But our board and the administration and our faculty and staff, we're committed to continuing our past decade or more of keeping the tuition increases as low as possible.
Enrollment, of course, being the second major component of income for the university, what do summer and fall enrollment projections look like now for Ball State?
Well, so we won't know real summer projections. Those registrations begin, course registrations begin in a couple of weeks. Here's what we know, though, about fall enrollment in terms of what assumptions we're using and what data we're seeing so far. We're building next year's budget on the assumption that the new undergraduate freshmen will increase by about 2 or 3% compared to fall 2020. Presently, though, actual deposits are running higher than 3%, which is a good thing. We're also seeing positive preliminary numbers, and I emphasize preliminary numbers for international undergraduate students, for undergraduate transfer students, and for new graduate students. But of course, it's a long way to August, but at this present time, I'm encouraged by our retention numbers as well as our projections for new students, both undergraduate and graduate, for fall of 23. It's good news as well.
Purdue will be returning to requiring SAT and ACT scores in the fall of 2024, a year out. Will that give Ball State a boost with its test optional stance?
I think it will help us. Of course, Purdue also, now that the pandemic is receding into our rearview mirrors, Purdue is returning to their past practice of recruiting more out-of-state students and more international students. So I think we'll also see a little bit of a tailwind now, because they will probably not be enrolling as many Indiana or Midwest students as they did during the height of the pandemic. So don't know whether that will play out, and don't know whether it will be because of test optional. But, you know, they're kind of swimming against the tide by returning to requiring SAT and ACT scores. I saw just recently that Columbia University, one of the most selective institutions in the country, is sticking with test optional, at least for their students who are enrolling in their arts and sciences college.
And that's in the Ivy League, too.
They are. They're one of the lesser Ivy League institutions, though, Stan.
Spoken like a true Yale graduate.
That's correct.
Well, President Burns, thanks very much for being with us again today, and good luck with all the calculations.
Thank you, Stan. Good to be back with you again today. Have a good weekend and a good break.
Thank you. You as well, if you're going to get a break, will you?
I will be working, but I'll be out of town.
Well, I'll be working in town. Thank you very much. All right. And that's it for this week's Ball State Update. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.